Christ called to be an apostle according to the gospel of God. Paul, the servant of our Lord Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle according to the gospel of God. A reading from the first epistle to our teacher Paul to the Thessalonians. May his holy blessings be with us. Amen. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you have heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God, which are in Judea in Christ Jesus. For you also suffered the same things from your own countrymen, just as they did from the Judeans, who killed both the Lord Jesus and their prophets, and have persecuted us, and they do not please God and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they may be saved, so as always to fill up the measures of their sins. But wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored more eagerly to see your face with great desire. Therefore, we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope, or joy, or crown, or rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. Therefore, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone, and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith, that no one should be shaken by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. For in fact, we told you before when we were with you that we would suffer tribulation just as it happened, and you know. For this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you and our labor might be in vain. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love, that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, in all our afflictions and distress, we are comforted concerning you by your faith. For now we live, if we stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God for you, for all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before our God, night and day, praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. The grace of God the Father be with you all. Amen.
The Catholic Epistle from the Epistle of our teacher, St. James, may his holy blessing be with us all. Amen. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city. Spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you, and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up your treasure in the last days. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept out back by fraud, cry out. And the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. You have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Do not love the world or the things in the world. The world is passing away and its lust, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Amen.
The pure apostles who were invested with the grace of the Holy Spirit, may their blessings be with us all. Amen. Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who when they had come to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they were assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. And in these days prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. Then one of them, named Agabus, stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world. which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they also did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. The word of the Lord shall grow, multiply, and be mighty, and confirm the Holy Church of God forever. Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Today is the 27th day of the blessed month of Misra. May God end it in goodness and renew it for us in peace and tranquility. All our sins and iniquities are forgiven through the tender mercies of our Lord, my fathers, and my brethren. Amen. On this day, Saint Benjamin and his sister, Saint Eudoxia, were martyred. These two saints were born in Shapshir to pious Christian parents who loved the sojourners and living in purity, worship, and asceticism. They brought them up in a Christian manner. When Benjamin grew up, he longed to shed his blood in the name of the Lord Christ. He went to Chatanouf and confessed before its governor the name of the Lord of Christ, and the Lord Christ. The governor tortured him much, then imprisoned him. When his parents and sister knew that they came to him weeping, but he comforted them. He explained to them the vanity of this world and the life of the coming age, which has no end. When his sister heard that, she told him, "God lives. I will not be separated from you, and the death that you would come on, you and I would die with it also." The governor put them in a dark prison for 25 days. Then he took them out and hung heavy stones from their necks and threw them in the river. The angel of the Lord came and united and untied the stones. They swam until they arrived to a town called Petra. A girl found the two saints and rescued them. They went back to the governor, and again they confessed the Lord Christ before him. The governor tortured them, then commanded to behead the saints. Thus they received the crown of martyrdom. Some Christians came, took the two bodies, and relocated them to their hometown, Shapshir. They were buried there, where they built a church after their names. The blessing of their prayers be with us all. Amen. On this day also, Saint Mary the Armenian was martyred. This saint was a captive of a Muslim soldier of the King Zahir Bibars, the Sultan of Egypt. The soldier asked her to deny her faith in the Lord Christ. However, she did not hearken to him, but confessed that she was Christian. He tortured her severely, but the Lord strengthened and comforted her. When he became weary of torturing her, he informed the Sultan, who brought her and asked her to abandon her faith. She did not listen to him, and she remained steadfast in confessing her Christian faith. The Sultan ordered to burn her alive in a blazing pit by Zuwaila's gate, Harat Zuwaila, in Cairo. When they were throwing her in the pit, she was praying, "It's good, O Sultan, that I deliver up my soul in the hands of my Master, Lord, and Savior Jesus Christ." Thus she received the crown of martyrdom, the blessing of her prayers. Be with us, and glory be to God forever. Amen. Jesus Christ, our God, who said to his saintly disciples and honorable apostles, "Many prophets and righteous men have desired to see the things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear the things which you hear and have not heard them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." May we be worthy to hear and to act according to your holy gospels, through the prayers of your saints.
Holy Gospel.
Lord, have mercy.
Remember also our Master, those who have bidden us to remember them in our supplications and prayers, which we offer up unto you, Lord. Lord, our God, those those who have already fallen asleep, repose them. Those who are sick, heal them. For you are the love of our soul, the salvation of our soul, the hope of our soul, the healing of our soul, and the resurrection of us all.
Amen.
Στάθητε με τα βουβό Θεό, ακούσουμε το Άγιο Ευαγγέλιο.
Μαρούτην γεύδιες νιώχενε φρόνι με μσόν στενιγόμ, Κύριε φλούγησον εκ το κάτα μάρκον Αγίου. Ευαγγέλιο του Αναγνώσμα.
Σωσή Κύριε.
Stand in the fear of God and listen to the Holy Gospel. A reading from the Gospel according to our teacher, Saint Mark the Evangelist. May his blessing be with us. Amen.
Be on fire, pen not pin, shine in him, shine in ten in a tear, O Amis.
From the Psalms of our teacher David the prophet, may his holy blessings be with us all. Amen. The heavens are yours, the earth also is yours, the world and all its fullness. You have founded them, the north and the south. You have created them. Strong is your hand and high is your right hand, alleluia. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, to whom is glory forever. Amen. Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite to the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when all these things will be fulfilled? Then Jesus, answering them, began to say, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and will deceive many. But when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled, for such things must happen, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be earthquakes in various places, and there will be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows, but watch out for yourselves, for they will deliver you up to councils, and you will be beaten in the synagogues. You will be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all the nations. But when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak. But whatever is given you in that hour, speak that, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Now brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing where it ought not, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the house stop, not go down into the house, nor enter to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes, but woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter, for in those days there will be tribulation, such as hasn't been since the beginning of the creation, which God created until this time, nor ever shall be. And unless the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he chose, he shortened the days. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or look, he is there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. But take heed, see, I have told you all things beforehand. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars of heaven will fall, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send his angels and gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest part of earth to the farthest part of heaven. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that it is near the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It's like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants, then to each his work, and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest, coming suddenly, he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch.
Glory be to God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, God, Amen.
As you know, we are coming to the end of this Coptic year. God willing, in 8 days, we will start the next Coptic year. We'll celebrate Coptic New Year. And as a side point, the Coptic months are pretty neat compared to the regular months we have, because each of the 12 Coptic months has 30 days. So 12 times 30 is 360. So 12 months, 30 days each, and then we have a little month at the end called the little month, which has either 5 or 6 days, depending on if the year to come is leap or not. So we are in the last Sunday of the 12th month, so we're nearing the end of the Coptic year, and it is fitting that the church reminds us in its readings that everything here on earth is going to come to an end, just like this year is coming to an end. Everything on earth is coming to an end, both in a general sense and in a personal or specific sense. My life here on earth will come to an end, and in general, life on earth has an end. And while many may try to predict when the end of the world may come, we are taught by the Lord and by His church that this is not the focus. We shouldn't try to predict something that the Lord told us is not in our authority to know. So instead of trying to predict when the world will end, we ought to focus our eyes and always be ready for, like I said, either my own life to end or life in general here on earth to end. And to be ready and to be prepared gives me a sense of peace. If I have an exam coming up, and if I have not studied, not done my homework or the assignments throughout the term, then naturally I'm going to be stressed. I am not prepared. If I have done the assignments and I have studied along and prepared, then I am at peace. Of course, there may be a sense of anxiety, which is natural, but I am at peace because I'm assured that I have prepared the best that I can. Similarly, if I'm competing in athletics, if I have stretched and I have done the warm-ups and the training, that I'm ready for the athletic event. But if I've neglected to prepare, then I am not ready to compete in athletics. Anything we do in life needs preparation. Anything we do that's worth anything needs preparation. How much more so the kingdom of heaven? So the Lord wants us all to be prepared. And as you heard, he repeats, what I say to you, I say to all, watch. And watch here means be vigilant, be always ready, be prepared so that you can be at peace, be watchful. And we want to concentrate on a few words that the Lord gave throughout this reading, and then we will take a quick graphical, practical summary of how to be prepared. The Lord says, he who endures to the end shall be saved. This is a promise from God. So it has a part that I need to do, which is to endure. And endurance, like I said, even in athletics or in studies or at work is important. How much more so endurance to inherit eternal life in God's kingdom. He who endures to the end shall be saved. He will do the saving. We need to labor and to endure. And the Lord says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. So I don't need to put my trust in something that is going to pass away. If something's going to be temporary or temporal or not perfect, then that's not the thing for me to put my trust and hope in. Instead, he says, my words will by no means pass away. So my trust and my hope and all my life is attending to his words and his promises that will by no means pass away. Take heed, watch, and pray. Have endurance. Like we said, any athlete or any person in any stage of their life, in order to succeed, needs endurance. Endurance means to be steadfast, keep focused. He who endures to the end will be saved. A promise from God and God's promises are always fulfilled. Heaven and earth will pass away. Another promise from God. Don't trust in the world, it will pass away. Some people think this world will continue forever, but the Lord said that this world, this earth, the sky we see, will all have an end, and there's a better life, a better heaven coming for each of us, God willing. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. God's words are eternal. God's promises always come true. Man's promises don't always come true, but God is true. God is honest and truthful, and he's willing and able and powerful. So God's promises always come true. His words and his promises are full of comfort. He promises that he'll never leave us alone. And did he leave us alone? This is a trick question. He went up to heaven. Did he leave us alone? He said, I will not leave you orphans. But where is the Lord? But he sent us the Holy Spirit. He sent us his Spirit to dwell within us. He never breaks his promise. The Lord never breaks his promise. He fulfills all his promises. He promised that he is going to go prepare a place for each one of us and come back and take us so that where he is, we will be also. And he's not breaking that promise. He promised that his yoke is sweet, his burden is light, and all who come to him see that his promise is true. Now, the world tries to give hope, but it's not like hope in God. It can be false hope. It can be hope that disappoints, but hoping in God never disappoints. The world tries to give joy, but it might not be the right kind of joy unless it's in the Lord. The world may try to tempt me with temporary happiness. Happiness if this stuff happens, if I get stuff, or if I get positions or possessions or money or temporary pleasures in the world. That's what the world calls happiness. It cannot call it joy, for it is not everlasting. But when God gives the joy, no one can snatch God's joy away from us. The world tries to trick us with a false concept of peace, but only the King of Peace can give his true peace. His peace includes peace with God, includes peace with one another, and includes peace with myself. Only God's peace is perfect and complete. And as we come to the end of the world, we need to self-evaluate and see, are we living a life full of hope in God or hope in something else, be it riches, ourselves, our education, our temporary future? As we heard in the Catholic Epistle, our life here is going to vanish like the the vapor, like vapor vanishes. So this coming year, God willing, we'll have a new start, and I need to evaluate what have I been putting my trust in, what has been giving me joy. Am I only happy when I receive stuff, or am I happy because I have a heavenly Father who loves me, and his Son who loves me to the point of death, and his Spirit who loves me to the point of wanting to be attached to me every minute of my struggle here to comfort me? God's joy is real, lasting, everlasting. We want to just take a quick look to see if we can take a practical view on how to benefit from the words of our Lord and being prepared. Give it just 2 seconds to load up on the screen. There is a famous nun, Sister Sarah from Upper Egypt, who, in order to keep herself always focused on her heavenly goal, used to always say that, "I never put my foot on a ladder or on a step without thinking that I might die before I take the next step." What is this? Is she trying to live a morbid life? Why is she doing this? She's just reminding herself that whether we live a short or long life here, what matters more is the life in the age to come. So how shall I be ready for the age to come? The Lord says, "Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will come from the wedding, that when he knocks, they may open to him immediately. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is a coming at an hour you do not expect." And here, of course, the wedding is Christ as our groom, coming to take us, the church, as his bride. Let your waist be girded means put a girdle or a belt, be ready to run to him, to run into his arms, and the lamp to lighten the path so that we can reach him in safety. So we're going to take 5 quick points about how to be ready, okay? The first point is faith. By holding fast to our faith, then I can be ready. And St. Paul tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen or not yet seen. So substance here means assurance. I'm sure it's been substantiated. I realize and I have a strong belief and conviction in the Lord. That's my faith. And the Lord says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And the Lord Jesus himself said, when the Son of Man comes in his second coming, will he find faith on the earth? And we get faith by clinging to the Holy Spirit, and those who love God, obey him, live his commandments, and continually repent and confess will receive faith. And you all know that we profess our faith after, as we begin the next part of the service, we will all recite the creed, "We believe in one God." And the creed ends with, "We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the age to come. Amen." We're not just trusting in God because he's going to keep us successful and healthy and wealthy here. He may not, but what's more important is the age to come. The second point, in addition to faith, is the church's teachings, what we call doctrine, which are, of course, based on the Lord Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone. And we are very blessed to be in this church where there's been no deviation for close to 2,000 years, maybe 1,975 years. Regardless of how the world around us has been changing, we are in what we can call a divine workshop where the truth of the Lord is kept preserved by the apostles who received it from the Lord himself. And we again are blessed to have St. Mark as our first pope, who handed the faith next to the next pope, to the next pope. We have St. Athanasius as our 20th pope, who hands it to the next pope until it reaches our beloved Pope Tawadros II. The doctrine and teachings of the church is another important aspect of being ready. Faith, the church doctrine or the teachings, and third is spiritually. We all strive to grow stronger and healthier and more intelligent. We all strive to grow physically and socially and mentally, but more importantly, spiritual growth is something we cannot ignore. We have to keep growing and growing and growing, and we never stop growing because our aim is to be like Christ. So we keep coming as close and as close and as close as possible to our Lord and Savior, as newborn babes desiring the pure milk of the Word that we may grow thereby. And of course, we grow through constant communication and relationship with the one who first loved us. We grow through prayer, through the Bible, spiritual readings, and as you have all come today to partake of his holy body and blood through the church sacraments, faith, doctrine, and spiritual growth. Next is service, because as St. James reminds us, works must accompany faith. Faith without works is dead. I can't say I have faith and I don't help those around me who are in need, imitating and walking with the Lord to love and to serve and to give and to forgive. And as he says, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. We are not just serving those in need, we are serving the Lord himself. Faith, doctrine, spiritual growth, service, and last but not least, our focus is on our eternal life. Christ in his first coming came to save us for salvation. Christ is coming again to judge everyone in the world. And he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He wants to come in judgment, not to condemn us, but to grant us everlasting life with him. And this needs daily self-reflection and self-examination to see if I'm on the right path, ready, prepared for heaven. And a quick checklist, and this, by the way, is from the Mahargan of this year. The Mahargan al-Karaza, or the St. Mark's Festival, is focused this year on being prepared. And I stole these slides from my wife's Sunday school lesson. So the checklist here is, am I still too attached to the world? Am I attached to money or power or wealth or even health? Am I too attached to the world or not? Am I able to let go of what's drawing me down to the ground so that I can be elevated up and meet my Lord? How is the state of my soul? Is it pure and clean, or is there some impurity that has crept in through my senses or my thoughts that I need to cleanse through the tears of repentance and confession? Am I living a heavenly life now, constant praise and worship of the Lord? Or else how would I be able to praise and worship when I go to meet the Lord? So those 5 points again are holding fast to our faith, learning from the church teachings, spiritual growth, focus on connection and communication with the Lord and through his sacraments, service to one another, serving the Lord, and being ready, God willing, for eternal life. Glory be to God forever. Amen.